Jets fans, it's me, it's David. We are back for another week to review round two of the 2018-2019 Newcastle Jets season, where we're going to be discussing with a group of knowledgeable people, yes, you have come to the right place, the one-all draw with the Jets and Adelaide at Cooper Stadium. Look, we're going into what I reckon is going to be a dogged midfield battle tonight, and I've got my three selections for the starting lineup. Firstly, it's a solid base of the midfield. We're starting with Grant. How are you, mate?
Hi, hi, guys. Here we go.
Good. Good to have you back. And next, I think we're going to go with our creative force, and that's Luke. Welcome into the team.
I was hoping you'd say that. Thank you, Dave.
And, of course, no midfield is complete without the engine room, the box-to-box player, and that is Lucas. Mate, welcome back to the pod.
Hey, guys. How you going? I haven't played much number eight, but I'll give it a go, definitely.
Oh, mate, look, tell you what. We're just throwing everyone in the deep end tonight. We're just going to see how everything pans out, and we'll make it up on the run as we always do. That's what makes this place great. Opening question tonight. It's I can't promise that this is actually going to be the last time that this comes up. I say that it will, but it will probably come back again. Grant, what's your favourite Johnny Farnham song?
Age of Reason.
Why is that?
It just sort of resonates. It talks about when it came out. You know, my family was still quite young, and it talks about how you know your parents move on, and then you're the ones that are left to take over and to you know to be adult. And it's sort of a little bit of a wake up call. And I think it was it's all about that generational thing. And I was just he comes out with some good ones every now and then.
Yeah. That's deep. That's very deep.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Very good.
Well, I'm deep. Well,
Lucas, what about you, mate? What's your Johnny Farnham song?
Oh, well, I'm not going to lie and say that I'm a massive Johnny Farnham fan. The only time I would have heard him is on the radio or my parents were listening to him.
Yep. So it's an old radio.
Yeah, like KOFM or something, I can't remember. But yeah, I did my research today. I'm going to go with Two Strong Hearts. I like that track. I assume it's a love song or something. But I really like that song. I'm going to go with that one.
Good selection. Luke, what about you?
I went with You're the Voice purely because when I was a kid in the school holidays one summer, I'd been given a SingStar on PS2 for Christmas, and You're the Voice was one of the songs on there. And it was the song I always did best at. Yep. I ended up getting, I think out of a score of 10,000 being percentage-wise, I think I got 9,970. So 99.7% on it.
Nice
so,
one. Very good.
There was a lot of singing done. I think my parents got sick of it by the end of the summer.
Look, You're the Voice is certainly the one for me. I mean, it's... If you're going to pick a song, it's got to be a ballad. It's got to be something that can be done at karaoke. And that's exactly what you've said there, Luke. I mean, I could almost see this song. If like when we were up at the Gold Coast for the FFA Cup game and the Bryan Adams Summer of 69 was on and the entire away bay was singing that, that's the sort of song that I could picture being sung at the football as well. So that's it for
absolutely
me as well.
Absolutely.
As always, Jetstream listeners, if you've got your song, put it up there. Look, if we get a different group, maybe it will make another return. Even though we say it won't, it still might come back.
If you beat my score for You're the Voice on SingStar, please let me know.
We might even have to look that up on YouTube, because I reckon someone probably will. All right, before we get into this, let's listen to the highlights, and these highlights are brought to us by Fox Sports.
Building certainly all eyes on Adelaide with the FFA Cup final coming up midweek. But there are three very important points to be won here tonight. Certainly both these sides are keen to find their first win of the season. They don't want to leave empty-handed after two weekends. Vargas. The free kick bending needed a touch on its way out.
Well, Izzo misread it. He gets away with it. But it had more height than he thought, because he really should be catching that.
Petrados gets a corner then. This one with some height. Hoffman wins the header. And Jair was there, but Izzo beat him to the ball. And now Petrano. So back heel under pressure.
Oh, clever.
Escaping to the right side. Collision off the ball floors Vargas. Jair is waiting. And Elsie puts it behind for a corner.
Oh, it's a terrific call.
What can he do? Scooping it into the path of Goodwin. It sits up. Ilso was there. Newcastle dawdling and very nearly gifted Adelaide a chance.
Well, that's what it was. Nearly gifted it to him.
Goodwin. A deflection and off the crossbar.
Well, he's definitely going for it. No doubt about it. It's a lot of power. And you know, it's fairly straight. So the power's and maybe the surprise.
Goodwin. On the impossible angle. Nearly, but not quite.
Just the long throw catches Newcastle. Good little run in behind here. I think it's in behind Ugarkovic, and he goes for power. That's a pretty good save.
And Hoffman steals away. Numbers at the far post for the Jets. It arrives in the middle. And the goal arrives too.
Well, finally, a bit of quality in the final third. Terrific ball in. Vargas attacks the space and gets himself a tap in.
So we see a tumble there from Jair, and Morone takes the chance to cross. Oh, great header. Great equaliser. Goodwin. It's 1-1. A beautiful sweeping ball, and Goodwin had the magic touch at the end.
Well, what a ball. We talked about Hoffman's cross for Vargas' goal, but what about this for a ball? It's a great header as well. Still had a lot to do. But look at this. They worked it from the left to the right-hand side. Gets it out of his feet. You don't have to beat your defender. That is a terrific ball. And Goodwin attacks it. And with a thumping header, just gets over Bogard. Beautiful header. Hits it back from where it came from.
It's a neat cross from Jair and a point-blank save. Hoffman denied. And Paul Izzo comes up with a big one.
Well, Galloway gets dragged towards the ball. And Hoffman should have scored.
Did well to leap through Georgievsky's challenge. And now he goes for glory! Nearly for George Blackwood.
I certainly had Glenn Moss worried. Dives across to his left-hand side. Must have been very close.
Morone, the early ball. Moss went without it.
Gee, I tell you what, George Blackwood. I don't know if they'll have a look at that.
Oh, he's ironed out Blackwood, and the referee is pointing in the other direction. Sprawled bodies, players coming in from all points of the compass, a hot crowd, and the game about to tick into stoppage time. And with that, it is hugs and smiles at full time in a game that ended up delivering.
Okay, thanks again there to Fox Sports for the highlights and the key takeaways from the match. I mean, Grant, we'll start with you, mate. The beginning of the week, if someone had said to you that the Jets are going to walk away with a draw going to Adelaide, an Adelaide team that are really fancied for the Premiership, would you have taken that as a result?
I certainly would have. In fact, that was I picked in my footy tips.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
I think to get a point from them, you know, we're testing them out, I suppose, and after the last time we played down there, was it the last game we played down there was 5-2? It was something horrendous anyway. Yeah, so to go back and do what we did there, I thought, as we'll talk about, we could have walked away with all 3 points here if it wasn't just for a couple of slip-ups or maybe just not on target, which might be a bit of a familiar theme for us. But, I was happy with the point, mate. Tough ground to get anything out of.
I mean, given the context of the game as a whole, Lucas, do you think a point was worthy? Both teams were worthy of a point during the game?
Yeah, I do. I think Adelaide are a really good side this year, and I was thinking the same thing as Grant. I'd take a point for sure. So, I'm happy with the result, to be honest.
Luke, I mean, the team that Adelaide did put out, and it was well documented that, you know, they may actually have, you talked about it on Thursday, that they may actually have an eye on the FFA Cup final this coming Tuesday. Did the full strength lineup surprise you?
I think it did. They did have Mirko Bolland ruled out, I think Thursday during the day he was ruled out, so... I was surprised. I was expecting probably a few more of their squad players starting. And I don't think, given how the game panned out, they'd be too thrilled on losing two players to injury that they are in a position that they were already short on.
Grant, I mean, the Jets selections, we did see Ernie Merrick stick with the same team he played against, he fielded against Wellington the week before. Just the one positional change with Lachlan Jackson and Daniel Georgievsky swapping flanks. Did that surprise you? Or do you think Ernie's looking to establish some chemistry and by maintaining the team that he's named for consecutive weeks?
Look, I think Lachlan Jackson, it was definitely a talking point round one. And so he then became a much larger or a bigger talking point for the fact that he was named and took the starting line in round two. But the big fella, he's growing into that position, and I don't know if Ernie, obviously Ernie sees something and likes him and sees that he's going to be he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And that's why he's trying to blood him. You know, there's a lot of talk about Foyitsa. Where is he? What's happened with Ivan? But I must say, Lachlan wasn't necessarily the best on field there on Friday night, but he certainly was a lot better, but more improved over the week before. And the same for Jair. I thought he copped a bit of flack for, you know, not been able to get back, his defensive work and that, I suppose, in round one. But I watched again today, and you could see he was working hard. And there's a couple. I don't know if you picked it up. There's one stage there, he's chested the ball back to Jackson, and Jackson just didn't move onto the ball quick enough, and Adelaide picked up and did the intercept. And you can see on the bottom corner of the screen, Jair's actually, you know, got the hands out, you know, spread apart and doing some explanations. You know, I don't know if you're speaking in is it Spanish or they speak in Brazil? But anyway, he was telling him something. But yeah, but no, it is quite interesting that Ernie's sticking with that. But I'm not particularly concerned either.
Grant's opinion, Lucas, is probably different to that of many of the informed opinions that we get on social media. Do you think Lachlan Jackson's actually come in, that the criticism that many are labelling towards him is warranted, or do you think that he's actually, he had a better game this week than he did the week before on his more favoured left-hand side?
Well, it's always easier to play on your preferred side, but I think Ernie's picking him, obviously, in the successive weeks because he likes him there, so he's seeing something in training that's obviously working. And with Ivan, obviously he's fallen out of favour, but maybe something to do with training, or he just prefers Jackson overall. But I reckon he did a lot better this week than last week, so he's growing into that position for sure.
He's one thing he's probably not offering that possibly Ivan offers, Luke, is that barraging run down the left-hand side and the overlapping run that allows the wingers to push more central. Do you think, what do you think is going on with Vujica at the moment? Do you think that it's just a matter he maybe isn't fit? Or do you think he's just not doing enough for his spot?
It's probably bad to say, but I'm hoping that it's that he's just not fit enough at the moment, because if he's not hungry for it, he doesn't deserve it. And I can't speak for the first game. I didn't watch the game against Wellington, but you've said a couple of times that on his favoured side, Lachie Jackson was a lot better. If that was a lot better, then I hate to see what it was like against Wellington, because honestly, I wasn't too impressed by it at all. I thought it was pretty... he's definitely not built for a full-back spot. He's definitely a more centre-back built player. But there was just too many times that he didn't have that instinct of running down the wing, of you know, pushing forward. He was more worried about sitting back, and there was a couple of times he hesitated on, as Grant said, on Jair's chest down or making a run, which I think, you know, if we had Ivan in there, he probably would have instinctively been able to do that. So I'm hoping that it is just a case of fitness, and it is a case of, you know, it's one of them, and Lockie's done the work so far, but if Ivan wants a spot, he's got to work hard for it, because... yeah, if he's not getting in, if he's getting in or getting dropped because of Lockie at the moment, it doesn't bode well for him, I don't think.
Well, it doesn't bode well for the team because we haven't heard anything. There's nothing coming out of the rumour mill about injuries or anything like that. So if he's not fit, you know, he's had the same pre-season as everybody else. So obviously there's something going on in the background that maybe some of our listeners out there that might be able to fill us in on, because it keeps becoming a strain. Because even you would think, yeah, Cowburn's most probably would fit back into that spot or whatever, because he's played in those spots in the last couple of seasons. So, yeah, very strange.
The first half, and we'll hear Ernie Merrick's press conference a little bit later on, but Ernie was of the opinion that we had the better of the first half. Lucas, is that the way that you saw the game? Because I don't tend to agree.
No, I don't agree either. I thought we played better in the second half. I thought we were just too slow offensively, getting forward or stringing passes together. I reckon we're better second half than first half.
I mean, we did. There were occasions, Grant, where we did get in behind the Adelaide defence. I think it was maybe Georgeski or Petratos down that right hand side, or maybe it was Hoff. Really sorry, I can't quite remember. But there was Jair was making a good run, ghosting at the back post, but it was intercepted by the Adelaide central defence at one point in time. But I mean, from the 38th minute, there were three really threatening opportunities that Adelaide had, and the Jets are probably lucky that they didn't go in behind at half time.
Oh, very. And look, Ernie's statement was quite interesting. I don't know if that was just more for the cameras, but there was I think around about the 12th minute, there was a few passages of play. That one where Jair, if he had a kick out, he would have kicked. Taken Izzo's head off there on the left-hand corner, the left-hand post, goalpost. But there was a few passages of play where I thought we were well and truly above them. We were pushing well forward. We had five across the back, and we seemed to have five across the front and pushing right up. But you're right, at about that 40th minute mark, I thought, oh, we're going to cop one here. We sort of dropped right off. And, Hale Moss, I suppose, in regards to a couple of those bloody outstanding saves. They were just pumping at him there. What's his name? Halloran was being really antagonising down up front there. So, yeah, we were very lucky.
The main threat, Luke, probably came through Craig Goodwin. There was it was Goodwin's free kick that rattled the bar in the first half. He had a very late shot saved at his near post by Glenn Moss. I mean, many would call it a routine save, but I still think it was a good reaction save with his feet down low. And it was Goodwin's run as well that managed to force the deflection that Ken Ilso nearly knocked in. He's come under a lot of pressure that he doesn't score, but as we'd later find out, he did find the back of the net. Is he an enigma sort of player that you really... He goes cold and then he goes hot? But, I mean, what am I trying to say here? I mean, did Goodwin have a good game?
Did Goodwin have a good game?
Did Goodwin do good?
I have a feeling... I'd imagine he's a player that does... that his game depends on his confidence. Leading into a cup final, getting an assist last week, I feel is, putting the performances in that he needs to put in, especially being with his, in front of his, home crowd, hometown, and everything. So he's definitely a player that has a lot of, potential for, and a very creative player and everything. So, I guess a lot of the criticism that he gets, whether he's hot, whether he's cold, fair enough. But when he's on, he's on. So, and that's what we got on Friday night.
One thing that really stood out to me, Grant, was the approach that Ernie Merrick looked to take to prevent Adelaide from playing out, particularly from goal kicks. He set the team up really high, And it worked. It forced Adelaide to boot the ball long to players who aren't as tall as ours, and we won that second ball back more often than not. How did you see that approach?
Look, the other thing he did was he isolated Isaias out of the game. He just, for that first, I don't know, you know, for about the first 40 minutes, I don't know if he hardly had a touch. And, you know, he's a tricky little bastard, that guy. You know, and if you touch him, he falls over. He's as bad as Paul and Rowley. And but he's a funny character to watch, and I wouldn't be too upset if he ever come to the Jets. But he's fast and he's quick, and he makes a lot of trouble in the middle there. So he was taken out of the game. Ball's going over the top, as you're saying, and they've got no height up front, and now Tall Timbers, you know, our two centre backs did a marvellous. Was it Topper that had that run, had a leg raise, had a foot raise with his Halloran? I don't know. Anyway,
He burnt past Boogs.
Yes. Well, it's like Treacle. Boogs was standing in Treacle, but it Topper was still a big surprise, I think, even to the commentators about his speed. But yeah, look, I think Ernie's tactics were spot on.
And I'll just add to that. I'll just add to that as well. I think part of, you know, Izzo's always seems to turn up when he plays the Jets. He, in the last couple of years, has improved a lot from when he was at the Mariners. But I think one of his weak points is his distribution, so forcing Adelaide to pump it long. He pumped it. He went into the crowd a lot of times. So I think that was part of Ernie's ploy as well, is to make sure, you know, don't let him pass it on the ground, make him put him under pressure, make him pump it, and that's when we'll get the ball back in an attacking position.
I mean, even though we did win a lot of those second balls, we really struggled to take advantage of it. I thought we turned the ball over a lot, Lucas, and we were quite sloppy in possession.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, it seemed like we were struggling to pass like combination play together, like string a few passes together in quick succession to get up the pitch. But I guess being the second game of the season, come a bit slow out of the blocks, I guess, but I guess this is something we can build on.
I mean, Luke, Stevie Ugarkovic was his usual reliable self with a lower for his standard percentage, but still just above 81%. But his partner in crime, Matt Redenton, was sitting around 65% possession pass accuracy. Jeez, I can't talk tonight, eh? do you think that Redenton's going to be looking to be coming under some pressures, particularly with Kantorovsky getting a good 20-odd minutes under his belt, and Ernie may be considering partnering him back with Ugarkovic in the centre of the park?
It's definitely a possibility, and I spoke about that on the preview pod last week about, you know, the only real change that I would look at, you know, or question was whether Kantorovsky would come straight back into the starting 11 and Rydenton drop to the bench, or whether Rydenton would start and Kantorovsky would start on the bench, which ended up happening. But if Rydenton is going to be connecting 65% of his passes, we have the depth in that position now that if he's not performing, then, you know, we have Kantorovsky, who last year proved that he does have a lot of talent, back to, you know, the potential he showed when he first came on the scene and everything. So if Matt Rydenton isn't doesn't improve that passing stat, and because I made that observation watching the game, just, you know, him just especially in the first half, just a lot of turnover in, especially in defensive positions that went straight to Adelaide, and I think may have been even when that Ken Ilso chance that you spoke about before happened. It just seemed that towards the end of the first half, maybe the last 10 minutes, we were just passing to them. So if, yeah, Kantorovsky's definitely there and definitely chomping at the bit to make that defensive spot his own again.
We've got to show the ball some more love, don't we, Grant?
We've got to love the ball. We've got to be the ball. It's, we're starting to get back to couple of times where I'm thinking to myself, oh, you know, it was deja vu all over again. We weren't not being able to put that ball in the back of the net, you know, hit the ball straight at the keeper. You know, I thought Hoffy's going to be screaming down there with his arms open because he's got that ball in the back of the net and, you know, Figueiredo has got it stuck through the palm of his hand. So, yeah, and Ja missing a couple. It'll get there. I've got the confidence. That Ja is getting on. He impresses me, and Vargas is just, he's just going to open him up. You watch. Guaranteed.
We'll get on to him in a minute, but let's talk about that goal. Look, you brought it up. Hoffman breaks down the left-hand side, and across the forced, I think it was Elzy, to stumble, but that created the space for the ball to make it to Vargas, who timed his run perfectly into the box and just side-footed into the net.
Yeah, it would look, and even the pressure that was come back at the halfway line there, where we forced Adelaide to make a mistake, which then allowed us to go forward, and then again the stumble. Hoffy's got it. Here's the commentator's perfectly weighted ball in, but Vargas looked as if you'll watch Vargas. It looked as if he was going to go behind. He had the defence in a couple of minds because first of all I thought, oh, he's going to go in behind to the back post, but as they've moved, he's just split the middle. And as calm. There was nothing, no issue on it. He didn't do a Stephen Taylor, which you couldn't miss, but he did, But thankfully, Ronnie's never played in the Premier League, so he doesn't have that pressure to live up to. But he was just cool and calm. And it just, this is expected. I thought, we're going to see that. But it also came, it was a jar. There's the combinations that are coming in now. You know, again, all the Hoffy haters out there, yeah, screw you blokes. But the combinations, you know, you throw Hoffy's put that ball in for Vargas. Jar's come in, put a lovely ball on the head for for Hoffy, but it was unfortunate he's got his big fat hands in the road. I can see that really starting to build, and I think this weekend's going to show it all. Yeah.
No worries. Very good. That's that was very hate-filled, passionate. Old man yells at cloud.
Somebody put a Facebook post up there. Anyway.
All right. So Ronald Vargas, Luke, did become the 80th Jets player to score in the A-League for the club. You got to be happy for the guy. I mean, everything, it's well documented, everything that the guy went through last year. And just to see him running away and score. Look, the only thing that was almost as good as that was Hoffy's celebration in front of the Jets fan, the travelling Jets fans at the same time. If you haven't seen it, watch the replay and watch Hoff give the big ones to the away supporters. But you got to be happy for the guy.
Oh, absolutely. And if there was anyone on that team that deserves a goal, it's definitely him for what he's gone through in the last 12 months. It was, 370-odd days since he broke his leg in Brisbane. It was only 6 days earlier or something in 2017 that the incident happened. So, nearly a year to the day, and here he is scoring the classiest of tap-ins that you'll ever see. Tap-ins are usually the same sort of thing, but that one just had class about it. The way he just sort of threw the two defenders off and got it past Izzo, couldn't be happier for the bloke. And as I'm talking, I'm thinking of when I'm going to be able to get into everything football to get Vargas Ronald 10 on the back of my Jets kit. So, couldn't be happier for him.
So, Hoffy,
well, I was going to say, Luke, you've just made my mind up. I've got to go ahead and get my kit, and I was wondering who was going to put on, and you've just made my mind up. You're right.
Are you guys going to get the black one?
Yeah, absolutely.
We will come on to that. Once you go
black, you won't go back. Sorry.
We will come on to that gorgeous black kit.
It's got its allocated time.
It is allocated time. If Hoffy was giving the crowd the big ones before, he was probably giving himself an uppercut a little bit later on, Lucas, with... look... It was a wonderful chance, and it's a header that I'd probably say 4 out of 5 times he'd bury. But this time he managed to get big Paul Izzo right in the guts and missed an opportunity to extend the Jets' lead. Disappointing for Hoffman.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, with those kind of headers, you just try and put it on target, either left to the keeper or right to the keeper, and you just managed to put it right at him, I guess. So, but yeah, you reckon most of the time he'd bury that one. So, yeah, I'd uppercut myself as well.
Look, I mean, Grant, it was a missed chance, but is there reconsideration that Ernie may look to persist with him as a central striker? Or given the lack of width that we've been seeing from the team in recent time, that, and obviously taking into context the assist he provided as well, that he may look to swap, say, Jair and Hoffman for this coming match against Victory and add Hoffman's pace out wide?
And that wouldn't be a bad call, because I think that we're still finding that, you know, Jair's not match fit yet. For the fact he's still not playing the full 90, and I think just watching some of his ball work and that, I think Jair, given the opportunity to get in the centre, as I say, Hoffy can just bust down the sides and get and deliver that ball. I think that wouldn't be a bad option. And again, I know we talk about it and talk about it, but you know, it's just we've got 6 weeks to go before Roy the Boy comes back, so it's, you know, it'll be all guns ablaze. But that, I think Ernie would be seriously looking at that at the moment. But Hoffy is he's proven himself well, whilst Jair is getting some fitness. So yeah, good option.
Jair, second week, and Grant's spoken about him quite a bit tonight, Luke. I was impressed with him in his second game. He shaved the beard off. Probably that's an aerodynamic thing to help improve his speed. But I thought that Jair was better this week. Got more minutes and looked a lot sharper.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we've always said Wellington away is not our favourite hunting ground. So to have your first A-League experience in windy Wellington, yeah, definitely not the way you really want to start off your career with the Jets. But, you know, he was always... They'd been in media for the weeks leading up to the season that he wasn't match fit, that he was overweight, this sort of stuff. So to see him out on the field and, you know, improving, getting more minutes, putting in a solid performance... It definitely gives you some, I guess, eagerness to see what he will bring once he is fully match fit and once he settles in and everything.
Do you think people have been too quick to write him off, Lucas?
Yeah, I think they are. It's only 2 weeks in. When did we get him at the start of preseason? It was a bit
no, three weeks. Before kickoff.
Yeah, so you look at that, and you know he's got some fitness to catch up on. So for what I've seen of him so far, and he's playing on the left, not up front, so he's going to come good for sure. You can see it.
I think as well, part of the reason people are so eager to write him off so early is the fact
that's
that
what we're
it's the Newcastle way. In particular, because he isn't a big name player that other clubs have signed this preseason. You know, you look at some of the players that have come in Melbourne, Sydney, Adelaide, Perth. They've got players that people know. He's not a name that people know, and because he's one of our few and probably our highest but the highest quality signing that we have made in the preseason, I think people are sort of looking at, why don't we have a Honda? Why don't we have a Delatt or one of these players and just write him off because I don't know him, which is an Australian football thing in general, which, you know, I'm hoping and waiting for him to prove him wrong.
Well, we
get a
Honda
and come last.
We gave Jardel 7 games, though. I'm sure we can give Jair about the same. Look, probably, I mean, it's the talk of the town at the moment, and that's VAR, but it wouldn't have been... look, there was an incident late on where I expected it to intervene, but it didn't, fortunately, Luke. And that's the collision between Georgievsky, George Blackwood and Glenn Moss. How did you see that incident?
My first thought was, all right, this penalty, red card's happening, you know, we're going to lose again. That was my first initial thought. Then saw the referee had given us a free kick. Expected VAR to come in and overturn it, and it was a bit of a mess. Blackwood's knocked out. Blackwood blacked out. I guess on the replay, you know, seeing that, you see that Georgievsky was the one that got fouled by Blackwood, and it was just a sort of mistimed collision that happened between Moss and Blackwood. Unfortunately for Blackwood, he ended up busting his shoulder. But luckily for us, we got a decision go our way. We didn't have a red card. We didn't lose the game from it. And I think the events after that, I think we were also fairly lucky, and Adelaide were fairly lucky not to both have a red card for two headbutts.
Yeah, well, it started off a bit of a chain reaction there, Lucas, at the end where the referee got involved, and I mean, he's supposed to be the voice of reason, but he turned away at the moment where Georgievsky and Mickelson have put their heads together and decided to headbutt each other.
But the funny thing was, I don't even know if it was a headbutt, was it?
It was.
It's just.
It looked like a head press.
That's not a headbutt. I'll show you a headbutt.
I mean, look, it probably seemed like a good idea at the time, but it wasn't. And I thought Georgievsky was lucky to escape a red there, Lucas.
Yeah, I'm just glad that the ref wasn't looking directly at the incident that it happened, because if he did, he probably would have got a better understanding.
But that was officiated by the VAR, wasn't it, as well?
I don't know. That I don't know.
I'm not too sure it went to. It definitely should have. Same with the other incident, but I guess we've got a bit of luck with that one.
The ref turned for 1 second, and that 1 second, that's when they went at it. The second he turned his head.
What are we going to do it when nobody's looking?
No.
You should, and as our resident referee Anthony said, you know, there's a heated situation in the 90th minute of the game. Why are you turning your head away? Yeah. Why are you not in the middle of that, or at least keeping all eyes on it? But anyway.
Maybe him turning away is giving the opportunity to VAR, for the VAR to say, have a little faith in us and let them rule on it. Anyway, we might, look, thoughts go out to George Blackwood. Not good to see a serious injury to his collarbone or his shoulder. Sounds like he's going to be out for quite a while, and it's a shame for him, especially with the FFA Cup final coming up when... I don't think it would have been in doubt that he would have been involved in some regards. So hopefully he has a strong recovery and comes back better, a better player. Before we move on, those kits. I mean, the only thing that I'd say was sexier than those kits was the fact that Ronald Vargas was in that kit.
Yes.
Grant, how good are they, honestly?
Look, they're well. We were very fortunate, though, weren't we? We see them in Laurie's office when we did an interview a while ago. And I looked at it. When it was sitting over that chair, I thought to myself, that black one is just sex. That's, look, it looked really good. And it was better in real life when people actually running around in it. No, it looked really great, I must admit.
I saw it and my heart, and I just thought my heart's on fire, Lucas. How do you like that kit?
Oh, I like it a lot, and I love that. I like black ones because they're harder to get dirty. With white ones, you can't play in them. You can't go out in them because I either drop food on them or a ball gets smashed into my chest and all mud goes over them. So the black one is awesome. Yep.
And Luke, mate, you're going to pick yourself up one?
Oh, absolutely. It's not a case of if I, it's a case of when am I.
Very good.
And the answer is hopefully soon.
Look, we've actually... Well, moving on from the kits quickly, I've actually realised I've neglected to talk about Adelaide's goal, the Craig Goodwin goal.
Oh, that's okay. We don't need to talk about that.
Look, I've got to say, that
it was a good goal.
It was a very, very well-taken goal. I think Boogs may still have had a bit of the treacle on his boots. I think people are being a little bit harsh. He's turned, he's running backwards while trying to jump at the same time. I actually don't think his footing was completely in place for him to allow him to get a decent jump on the ball. But Maroney's cross, Luke, was absolutely scrumptious.
It was a hell of a cross. And you said before about, I think it was Elsie slipping over in the lead up to our goal. Mm. We had a similar thing with Jair slipping over as he was heading towards Maroney before he put the cross in. So, you know, you sort of think, well, if Jair hasn't slipped there, does he put pressure on him that he doesn't make that cross? But, you know, the way it was, that cross, even if Bugard's footing was good, it was a hell of a cross and an even better finish from Goodwin.
Anyway, so that result, the one-all draw, leaves the Jets in eighth spot with 1 points from 1 point from two games. Grant, thoughts on the competition so far? I mean, no team has won both their games. It is a really, really even comp, I'd say, at this point. And to me, no team's impressed other than maybe Perth.
Look, I think you're right. Everybody has stepped up. The teams that, you know, you're sort of dead set looking to think, you know, give them the spoon now and rattle a can for, you know, places 9 and 10. You know, nobody, I wouldn't have put any money on bloody Mariners having a draw with City. You know, look what City has spent and what Mariners have done. So, but Perth, what Popovich has done with Perth Glory, I think they're going to be very hot this year. But I think this has been one of the best starts to the season, any A-League season that we've had. It's by far, you know, the most equal. You know, looking at all the stats and that, and it's hardly anything between any the top and the bottom teams. I'm noticing that in fouls conceded, we're tying with Western Sydney though. At 34 fouls so far in two games. That's not bad, is it?
Well, we have a reputation.
Go boys. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that I'd say, Lucas, the pundits have managed, pundits us included, have managed to get right so far, has been that every team has improved. And I'd say that that's about the case, other than probably Melbourne Victory at this case, but write them off at your own peril. They've still scored three goals in two games. Every team's improved.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And it's good. It's good to see. It's good for the league. You think of like Wellington and Central Coast, you 100% think they're going to be 9 and 10 or around there. And, yeah, so it's a really good start to the league. Different from, you know, movie last season when there was a lot of teams slipping off. Now it might be a bit different. I guess we'll find out.
It makes this weekend more important, Luke, that, you know, if we get a decent win against Victory, we could jump to first. We really could.
Yeah. As I said, it's really tight. Six draws in the first 10 games is crazy. It's definitely, you know, other teams are slipping up as well. We need to not give them any more of a head start. We need to not give them any lead. We need to make it easier for ourselves later on. We make up the points now. It gives us the opportunity to have a dry spell like we did at the end of last season. So we can't afford to be, you know, dropping points now and then expecting, you know, chasing our tails for the rest of the season afterwards. So a win on Saturday night's a must.
Are you happy with the two games that we've had on the road, Grant, that we've only managed to take away a point? Or do you think, Ernie, given how the events of those matches unfolded, would be slightly disappointed?
Oh, look, I think everybody disappointed not to get points out of Phoenix. You know, we should have. I know they've always been tough over there in Wellington, but, you know, considering what we did last year and everything that's going through, our guys, you know, we would have been pretty pumped. I don't think we would have been too sure of ourselves. It still would have been fairly grounded, but I think Rudin's, you know, got that crew over there really fired up, especially for their first game. So I think we were pretty unfortunate to face them for our very first game. But in saying that, you know, a bit disappointed we didn't take points away from. I'm happy with a point out of Adelaide. They're always tough, but I would have thought we'd have got three. So, you know, in real terms, you know, we should have been sitting on 4 points, I think. But anyway, it's football.
Look, speaking of Ernie Merrick, he does address the Jets' performances over the first couple of weeks as well as the importance of the next couple of weeks, and talks about that in his post-match press conference. And this as well is brought to us by Fox Sports.
Well, Ernie, overall the balance of play, do you think a point's a fair result for that one?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think a point for each team is fair. I thought we were the better team in the first half. We had more shots, we had more possession in the front half, some good key passes, but I think Adelaide evened it up pretty well in the second half. So overall, a very fair outcome, really, for both teams. I'm sure Marco doesn't feel that way, but I was just watching the referee's left hand go into his ear, and every time that happens we tend to get a penalty against us or some strange decision. So as soon as I saw that happening, I was in trouble, but the VAR didn't really get involved, which was good.
And speaking of that, I mean, obviously that's the late sort of talking point from the game. How did you see that incident? Moss came for the ball, didn't get it, had contact with, like, what were your thoughts?
Well, it's a fair distance from the bench, but it looked to me like three players went for the ball, and he certainly didn't come to punch anyone. He went for the ball, three of them collided. It was just purely innocent. I think a few people got worked up. I don't know why. Was it young Blackwood? Has he hurt his shoulder? Has he?
Yeah.
He did well, the lad, but a bit unfortunate. But there was no malice in that at all.
And Marco said that he thought it was a little strange, I guess, when you've got the VAR technology there, that maybe the referee didn't come over and review that incident. I mean, this case sort of worked out, I guess, in favour of your side. Would you prefer to see those incidents left to the referee?
The VAR is, I think, an important piece of technology for our game, and certainly here for the future. The operation of it has been pretty well disastrous. So if the VAR got involved, I told you I'd get pretty nervous. My heart rate was racing as soon as I see that hand going up.
Andy, what did you make of JA's performance tonight? It was probably a couple moments where he looked a bit lethargic and probably wasn't putting in 100% at certain times. Is that the way that you guys saw it, or are you happy for him back at times?
No, I wouldn't agree with you. He's only had about 3 or 4 weeks pre-season with us, and he hasn't played a lot of games. Last week he was not really that involved. I thought he had a really good game, and Adelaide scored with a terrific cross and a really good header, and we had the chance to win the game thanks to Jair's cross on Jason, and your goalkeeper Izzo saved it. So I was very happy with him. He's progressing really well with us. In the first half he cut inside and had a terrific shot as well. He chased back a lot more than what he was able to do last week, and he lasted longer than I thought, so I'm pretty impressed with him. In fact, I was impressed with the whole team. We really competed for 90 minutes, and Highmarsh is not an easy place to come and play good quality football and come away with much more. It's a tough place. I think the last time we were here we lost 5-2. So I was happy all round. There are two midfielders. The only reason I took them off, Steve and Matt Redenton, they were just exhausted. Very high work rates in the first half, and that's what we wanted. And it was great to see Ronnie getting on the score sheet thanks to Jason Hoffman cross.
Marco, no Royo delivered for the first 8 rounds. Does that hurt you guys a bit?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. We've got 6 games to go before he's back involved, but it's January and February. We need him. We have 7 games in January. 7. 5 of them away from home, 1 of them in Perth. I'm not sure how we're going to do it. And then in February, that's from the 1st of January to the 1st of February, and then in February we've got 5 games, and with a bit of luck, one of those will be in Asia if we win the first ACL qualifier. So we'll need a full squad January and February. But Roy O'Donovan would be a miss from any team in this league.
And after obviously a disappointing loss over in Wellington last week, how hard are you, I guess, by the display you saw from the players getting that point up to court, I suppose, after the
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. It was, it's always, again, tough to cross the ditch and play Wellington, and Mark Wooden's got them pretty fired up. We scored one and then we scored another. Sorry, we scored 2-1 for them. And then the referee's decision, which the FFA admitted is another mistake, and he was the fourth official today. And I said, why did you give the penalty? He says, well, I think, well, I don't want to quote him out of turn, but his answer was pretty poor. But I think we played some of our best football in Wellington. We played them in Auckland last year, and we played really bad football and won 1-0. But this team is more rounded than last season's. We've got a better bench and more strikers on the bench. So to come off of that game in Wellington, a short turnaround, and play here in Adelaide, as I say, a tough place to play, I'm really impressed with the boys and how they stood up to that.
Only 2 away games to start the season. You've only picked up a point. Are you satisfied with that?
No, I'm never satisfied. Always looking for 3 points. But first 6 games, we've only got 2 at home, and that's against Victory in Sydney. So we got a really lovely draw. Really appreciate it this year. So we've got 2 home games now. Victory next, and then Sydney, and then we've got 2 more away games. How we can't play home and away is beyond me, but it's obviously to do with the access to stadiums and that sort of thing. But tough opening 6 games. To lose 1 and draw 1, well, at least we're playing reasonably good football for at least half a game.
Ernie, just a word on young Johnny Katrumbas, obviously an Adelaide lad, and really sad, I guess, to hear about him, his illness. How's he going? Ernie, was it back at training, having a look?
Yes, he's Johnny had the operation. It was very successful. He's straight back to training. He's obviously doing lighter duties in the gym and a bit of weight training, and the boys take the mickey out of the cut that he's got on his neck. But he's sparked up. He says he's going to be better than ever when he comes back. So he's doing really well. And the boys keep carrying his shirt around with him. So I think his shirt's downstairs as well.
Okay, that's Ernie Merrick there. Guys, we'll look to wrap up this match just very quickly, going around the grounds with your player of the match. Grant, who is your player of the match?
Well, to me, it was a bit of a toss-up. I was thinking really hard about Ronald, but in the end, I couldn't go past Demi.
Really?
He's worth that. I think he's worth that 3-year contract and the money you want to get from it when we sell him when he doesn't finish his 3 years.
Luke, what about you?
I'm going Rolls-Royce Ronnie, getting off the mark with his first A-League goal.
Lucas?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Demi. Even though it was a draw, he still made things tick. He's definitely earning that contract, isn't he?
Yep.
I think I'm going to go with a slightly different one. I'm going to go with Glenn Moss. I would have probably gone with Ronnie, but I think Glenn Moss made a couple of important saves for us throughout that match that kept us in there as well. So,
Dave,
that's it.
Dave, I was just going to say then that nobody's wrong.
No, that's right. That's right. Okay, cool. All right, so quickly let's talk about... look, we're not going to talk about the Jetstream tipping because I'm coming last. I have got 0 to 10. I'm just giving everyone a head start. It's being well pointed out that as the stats man, I should be getting this right. But look, it's the A-League. There's reasons people don't tip on the A-League. It's because you can't predict the thing. So we're going to instead talk about the Fantasy League. Shane Ray currently sits ahead, sits on top of the overall rankings in the Jets, the Jetstream Podcast League, which is not the head-to-head league, but the other one. He's on 128 points, closely followed in second by Ed Greenhull with 124, tied with Luke, who's got Roy O'Donovan's School of Karate. And, mate, that is probably the best name.
And oh, I'm very happy with that name.
And the Half-Life Isotopes and the What If Hutcho Owned the Jets, all tied on 124. There's four people there. A couple of people on 123, including Ronnie's Rolls-Royces, managed there by Michael Bodie, Dave Hogan. Mitch is on 122 in 8th, Jared Case 120, and Jim Sneeze with Jim Zuri FC rounding out the top 10. Going down a couple of notable people, Glenn Wilson is in 11th, I'm in 20th, Anthony's in 19th, 101. Yeah, let's all laugh. Joel Goodsir is in 26th. Emma's Teamy McTeam face is in 27th. And Alan Burke with the Borks rounding out with 60 points. So, still not too late. You can probably still catch me if you want to join in the Jetstream League. Go back through our Facebook post and you'll be able to find it. I'm trying to have a look here at the ladder for the Jetstream Head-to-Head League. Oh, here we go, ladder. Peter's winning that one as well with 6 points from a possible six with two wins. I'm currently sitting in 16th spot out of 20 with 0 points, along with quite a few others. How are you going, Luke?
I just looked it up. I'm and coming third. Well. I'm on 6 points, but it's the points difference where I've been pipped.
Yeah, I lost by 3 points this week, and that really hurt by Andrew Parr's the Partatoes. So that one's stung. So if it's again, it is too late to join into the head to head, but you can still join our ranked competition.
I was on the I was following the head to head last night while watching the Victory Perth game.
Yep.
And I think after Victory's first goal, I jumped up excited because Honda assist guaranteed that I would beat Mick Amato's Mick FC in my match this week. So thank you, Honda, for winning me the game.
Yeah, well, Mick and I actually played each other in the EPL, the Jetstream EPL competition, and I got a text from him saying, "How are you going in your team?" And I said, "Don't crow, mate, don't crow. I've still got half of my team to play." I had something like 20 odd points. I hadn't had a good game. And I looked at his, and he'd had 95 points, and he had still a few points to play. I therefore conceded very promptly and said congratulations. So we'll let everyone go through the EPL fantasy. Maybe we'll go through that next week, I think. News and events.
We don't need to go through that at all.
You're not doing too well, are you? Glenn, I think, is doing the best out of everyone there. We'll go through that next week. So, news and events. 9th minute in this coming match with the Melbourne Victory on Saturday 9th, there will be a minute's worth of applause for Jared Hayter, who is a young footballer who played for West Wolves and who sadly passed away recently. That's an announcement that's been put out by the club. So, if you wonder during the 9th minute why there is a minute of applause, that's what it is about. We encourage everyone to jump up and join in to remember a local young footballer who was sadly taken too early. So so that's terrible, but good on the club recognising that. 100 members. We're 100 members off, reaching 10,000 members. Isn't that exciting?
That's incredible, isn't it? That's incredible.
Amazing.
Well done to Laurie and the crew.
Absolutely, and hopefully by the time you are listening to this pod, we have made that the 5 digits, and we're over the line there. W League as well, we'll get a preview during the week with the Jets making an away trip down to play Melbourne Victory this coming weekend as well. So we'll have to wait another week before the W League is back up in Newcastle, but it's their first trip and it's their first game of the season in what will be round two of the W League competition. Final bit of news is something that's coming out of the A-League website, and with the Jets possibly receiving a double boost with sidelined youngsters John Katrumbis and Joe Champness both closing in on returns to action. So both are back in training. Johnny's recovering well following his surgery, and Joey's bone in his foot is fully healed, and now it's about for him getting fit. We could really do with them, couldn't we, Lucas, right now?
100%. Yeah, we could do with them both, to be honest. But yeah, Joey back would be great. Have some speed on the flanks.
I mean, I think Joey would probably have a chance to be starting if it wasn't for this injury, Luke, as it currently stands. Do you think that's reasonable?
I think it would be reasonable to think that, you know, both Johnny and Joey would be, you know, pushing the starting 11 spot at the moment. You know, given that Voyager isn't been featured at all, Johnny's played a lot in the fullback positions during his time at the club. So I think starting complementing Georgievski either side wouldn't be too far of reach either.
Very good. Well, hopefully we see them back on the field very soon. Well, that about wraps up our podcast for today. We hope that everyone has enjoyed it. Thanks again to Fox Sports for the use of their audio. If people do want to get in touch with the Jetstream, we invite all listeners to send us any questions, comments, feedback, abuse, beer, food that you may have.
Beer?
beer? Did we mention
Black
beer?
Jets kits.
Black Jets kits, yes. You can get in touch with us if you'd like to donate any of that to us at facebook.com/JetstreamNewey, or you can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram with the handle at JetstreamNewey, or you can hit us up at podcast@newcastlefootball.net. If you do like what you hear, we encourage you strongly to jump on iTunes and give us a rating, because that's how other people can also find us as well. Thank you very much to my guests who are joining us today. Grant?
Good night, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. Love doing this.
Luke?
Thanks for having me, Dave. And make sure I never piss Grant off, because I don't want him to headbutt me ever.
And Lucas?
No dramas. Thanks for having me. What's a good sign-off?
I was just about to say, and now the is the time that everyone's been waiting for, to see whether Lucas has actually got a really good sign-off. So, till next week, everyone, go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go the
Jets. Go the Jets.
Up the Jetties.
Lucas? Nah, you've lost it.
No, sorry. I haven't got one yet.
Oh, jeez. Let's try again next week. Well, I'm down, Benjamin!